This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 57.
Hey, this is GunSully from Washington, D.C.
And this is TechSully, actually in my mountain fortress.
Yes. So, do you have the drone bears patrolling outside?
No. We went with the bioengineered wolves this time.
Okay. So, are the drone bears on loan to DARPA?
Yeah. We'll go with DARPA.
So somewhere at the foot of Mount Rainier right now, someone thinks they're about to get lucky, and a giant grizzly bear with what looks like a SEAL Team 6, like, helmet thing, you know, Rainbow 6 helmet thing is running at them, you know. That's a pleasant image. Okay, all right. So, there's been some news. Can I just say, if somebody said this sentence to me, if they said, I had a rough childhood, but I grew up to be the top neurosurgeon, the top pediatric neurosurgeon in the world. So, you know, anything's possible, right? If I heard that sentence, the first thing I would think is, I better check, you know, the remarkable part of the sentence. That he's the top pediatric neurosurgeon. You know, that's the part of the sentence you check. The part that's like, oh wow, that's incredible. Well, CNN is they're trying to lynch Ben Carson, digital lynching, and they're trying to.
It didn't start with him though. Who did it start with? It started with
Politico, I think.
Yeah, Politico. That was it.
But CNN was the one going ham on his book. So I think CNN sent, Maeve Reston, which, I'm Maeve Reston and, you know, he's acting like he's so offended by this, and, you know, like, this is the big leagues, so, like, he needs to be used to this. It's like, listening to her talk, I'm thinking, this woman has no stones to throw. She is just an unskilled broadcaster. And her going after him the way she's doing is so juvenile, because basically the situation, and I read the situation that they were, one of the situations they were talking about, in his book, You've Got a Brain. It is a situation where he is alone with another person. He's alone with another person. There's no other people involved. So it's just him and that person. He obviously changes the names of the people so that they're not harassed, because a lot of people don't know this, but if you write a book about your friends and family, sometimes they effing hate you. Because people go, hey, were you that so-and-so in the book? So that's a sort of a classic thing throughout history. That's why you simply change names of people. And the one situation, it was him and another person. Now, he didn't actually hurt the other person. He thought he did at first, and then realized he hadn't, and then ran away. And him and that other person are still on talking terms. So they weren't like, you know, pressing. So he didn't run and press charges on him. It's not written in the book like, oh, he pressed charges on him for trying to kill him. No, none of that happened. It was a one-off situation with him and another person. And there were no witnesses. there wouldn't be witnesses. And it was between him and that other person. He did not give that person's information. So, you know, in a city in Detroit, a very large city, Maeve Reston goes there and finds, like, a handful of people and asks them, you know, well, did you know him? Yes. Did you know of this situation? No. Well, I've asked several people, and they didn't know of that situation. But some of them didn't dispute it. It's like, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, there were no witnesses, so there's no reason for you to have done any of this research. The person, once they have their privacy violated and wants to come forward, they can. And Ben Carson has been very clear about that, saying, yeah, this is a family member who doesn't want to be out there like I'm out there because you guys are ruthless. Look what you're doing to me now.
I probably got in, I would say, probably a good 20, 25 good scraps in school. You know, I couldn't name, well, I could name three of the guys, you know, out of the 20 plus guys that were involved in those fights, you know, and if you ask them to roll back and remember something that happened in, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, or any of them, you know.
Well, and you also went to two or three different schools. Which is another thing that Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson pointed out. He said that Maeve Reston went to one of the schools, not one that he had any fights at. She went to, you know, people that went to, like, the last school he went to. So it didn't make any sense. He was pretty zinned out.
It's pretty interesting. It dropped off of Twitter already. I mean, pretty much that fast, you know, Bob Ross, took over the,
what was that?
On Twitter, you know, as soon as it kind of fizzled out where it was like, oh, it's more of a hatchet job. It's more of a, you know, cause it's like, you know.
I mean, since he really, well, and the other thing you're saying is, you know, they're basically, what they're trying to do is accuse him of stealing valor. Because he was ROTC, which is not military. It's kind of a lead up to military. It's an invitation to military service. And it's training for people to be good military officers or enlistee, depending on when they want to go in. So, ROTC or JROTC, he was involved with that, and he had an invite. You know, he had a conversation with the head of West Point, General Westmoreland.
I think to get into West Point, or at least at one point, you had to have like a letter from your Congress critter. I mean, you had to have like a letter of commendation.
You mean your senator?
You had to have. I mean, you had to have a letter from, you know, a general, you know, a congressman, a senator.
Well,
you had
from,
to have
from
somebody.
What, from what I've heard,
I think at that point a lot of people were like, "Wow, this is really not worth the hassle."
Right. Well, but that's the thing. If General West, if the head of the school or somebody, you know, a head honcho at the school says, you should be at the school, you know, you're the top guy here, you would definitely do well at the school, that he can help you file the paperwork. He can make sure the paperwork gets the right people. It's yes, there is a chain of command that needs to go through, and in no way is a truncated... if you're writing a book, are you going to write, you know... or are you going to write, General Westmoreland informed me that he knows the senator here and that he thinks that I, you know, would be good there, so he would encourage the senator to put me in there, and it would be fully paid for after I am officially in the system, and blah, 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 you know, and go through, you know, to get to where you're talking about filing DD-214s at the end. And then, would that make sense for a book? Or does it make more sense to say, they offered me a scholarship? Because that's what it translates to roughly in the civilian world. Because, yeah, you don't need to get a letter from your senator to get into Virginia.
Well, based on my ACT scores, I got a couple of different colleges that I hadn't even applied to that sent me a thing going, hey, if you apply here, you've got a standing scholarship waiting for you. So, I mean, yeah, that's entirely plausible. Now, I mean, not to say everything Carson says has been absolutely brilliant, like, you know, the whole pyramid grain storage things, but, you know, I don't expect him to be completely knowledgeable about a place he's never visited and never seen.
Well, and probably won't be allowed to visit now that the Muslim Brotherhood has taken over or letting ISIS fire Stinger missiles out of the Sinai Peninsula. But, you know, and it's it may as well be grain storage.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Are they still on the? It was put on as a bomb put on at the airport, or are they still on the Stinger missile thing?
Here's the timeline. A plane goes off, and some people go from our satellite people going, hey, not our State Department, mind you, but our. Our military goes, hey, we noticed a heat signature outside of this plane before the plane went down. And they're like, well, that's a missile. That's what missiles do. That's how missiles work. They blow up outside of planes. They take planes down. And the State Department, and this is my point, that ISIS was the first to go, we did that. 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 And our State Department goes, no, 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 because ISIS doesn't have Stinger missiles. Shut up, ISIS. You don't have Stinger missiles. Shut up. Because remember 3 years ago, we gave a bunch of weaponry to these guys called the Free Syrian Rebels, and then all of them, except for like four, went home and didn't do anything more with their lives. They completely live lives of peace. Oh, but also, unrelated to that, a group called ISIS popped up, and they have a lot of good weaponry and a lot of training somehow, and they are just storming across the Middle East there. So if somebody did have a Stinger missile, it would not have been... It would be easily traced back to the United States. So the United States then says, hey, yes, ISIS is claiming credit for it, but it definitely wasn't a missile. It was definitely just a bomb. We're 99.9% sure it was a bomb, because they definitely don't have Stinger missile technology. And the world community is like, yeah, okay, that's a logical thing there, but America, yeah? You gonna raise your threat level? Because ISIS just blew up a jetliner. So Jet Johnson jumps up today and goes, oh, yeah, we're raising the threat level at the airport to make sure that nobody brings bombs in the airplane. America was not concerned at all about people bringing bombs in airplanes because, the intel is sketchy at best that it was a bomb. I think the Egyptian military should, once again, it is the State Department's out for our actions or our failures overseas. The State Department's out is always, well, you know, those Arabs, they're just stupid. That's what the State Department has said. That was what the whole, 9/11 2012, the whole thing, the video of lying and saying it was a video, that was them just saying, well, you know, those Arabs, they'll just go crazy about videos and stuff. So, yeah, this time they're going, well, you know, those Egyptians, they just let a bomb right through security because they're so stupid.
It's videos this week, it's sale on socks next week. You know how they are.
Yeah, you know, you can't trust them. Anyway, yeah, so that's our stupid, racist, Democrat party there that, will, sell out an entire people just to try to not get in trouble one day. But they can't be racist, they're Democrats. Someone said that to me once. I wish someone said that to me once. I've actually had that said to me on several occasions, which is just horribly, horribly sad. Obviously, they don't know the history of the Ku Klux Klan, which is a good segue to our next topic.
Yeah, and I was looking to see if there's been any major fallout, and of course, the only thing that's so far come out is there's been some wrong names. You know, that if you're on a witch hunt, don't point out the wrong people as witches. And that's what I wondered is if you're going to have people who, you know, are going to have their lives ruined that absolutely positively aren't related to it. You know, my other fear is that, you know, it's going to be a whole lot of nothing. We talked about it last time, you know, what it is, Anonymous is, making not anonymous, a list of at least 1,000, KKK members. And, interestingly, there's a huge amount of overlap between them and other hate groups. So it kind of shows how small a minority these guys are, that they're an extremely vocal minority.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things. A lot of my black friends have this, you know, here in DC especially, they kind of live in this echo chamber of racial paranoia that all white people are totally okay with the Ku Klux Klan, and the Ku Klux Klan is representative of all white people, which is like, all right, for one thing, they haven't been players in the game for 40 years. Another thing, even then, they were the extreme, which is why, you know, there's basic economic stuff, like if you're making an ad, you have a black guy as the spokesperson. And people go, well, is that just reverse racism? That's just reverse racism. And they've come up with stupid little buzzwords and stuff. But no, the actual reason is because white people in general in America aren't racist. And they know that if a company allows a black person to be in there, you know, be their spokesperson, that company is as not racist as they are. And they feel comfortable buying something from that black person, which is, it's something in commercials, and it's been in commercials for years, that's a known, not gimmick, but a known, you know, tactic for marketing is diversity in ads. And the diversity in ads is not just for targeting that racial group, but it's for targeting the majority. Which the majority in our country is white, and the majority of white people in our country are not in the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, definitely. But interestingly, I mean, that's the thing is, if you look at you know, who Americans have had as their celebrities for ages. I mean, you've got you know, Nat King Cole, Eddie James, you know,
Sammy Davis Jr.
I mean, you know, you want to think how famous those people were back when you had 5 radio stations and 3 television channels. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody thinks the Kardashians are overexposed. There is nobody who, you know, Bing Crosby and those guys back then, there is nobody bigger on this planet than them because everybody had to know about them. You know, it's just amazing the amount of reach those people had back then. And so, you know, they're in your homes, in your lives. You knew about them, and it did break down the walls between, you know, because familiarity breaks down the prejudice. Once people started saying, oh, hey, these people are just like us. They have the same wants and desires. Interestingly, a fascinating story. Have you heard the story about how Superman took down the KKK back when they were at their height?
Oh, yeah, a while back, I remember that on a top tens list. We should link that top tens video into this, into the fixture for this.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah, it might have been a This American Life or something like that, but there's a much longer, like hour long thing where they broke down. It was the radio show for Superman, and somebody was leaking to Superman where the KKK was having their meetings, what they're planning to do, and they broadcast it on the Superman show, which, you know, like I said, there's five national radio stations. You know, one fifth of the country knew what the KKK was up to. And as you said, they weren't representative of the common American, but they did have more power, more sway back then.
Yeah.
But like what we're seeing is, you know, with 1,000 names and then them being where they're, you know, crossover between multiple groups, multiple secret organizations, is that they're just an incredibly vocal super minority.
Yeah, well, I mean, like the Jonesboro Baptist Church, that's like, what, 20 people? You know?
Yeah, but they're basically a family.
Yeah, well, and everybody goes, oh, well, Christians, and they mention them, and it's like, they are not representative of Christians. The reason the Klan wore hoods is because they knew what they were doing was unpopular. They knew what they were doing. Could garner backlash not from black people. That's not who they were afraid of. It was from the majority of the population, the police. So yeah, it's one of the, oh, I have a friend who, I love him. He's a buddy, but, oh gosh, he was the one posting all the ridiculous stuff with the Farrakhan. and I kept, you know, posting all the rebuttals like, hey, Farrakhan's a racist, and he calls you a savage since you're a black person, he calls you a savage, a crab in a bucket, savage, a crab in a bucket. Oh, there was another one that's like one of his things that he just demeans black people constantly.
Well,
under a vault, a caveman.
And then you and I are made by a wizard on the moon, so.
Don't even try to rationalize that one. He posted, he changed his profile picture to, one of the most, as a one-off, as a standalone picture, it's probably the silliest picture I've ever seen. Now, if it was part of some sort of story or situation that, like, led up to the picture, I might say it makes sense. But for a grown man nowadays who lives in Washington, D.C., I know a lot of this, you know, he's had a lot of struggles in his life, but from what I understand, none of it has ever been with a white supremacy group. It's always been with, like, Ethiopian club owners or fellow DC people. Picture
Kevin
is...
on a Thursday.
What was that?
Guy's named Kevin on a Thursday.
Yes. This picture is of a Klansman being hung by a noose, and a black man is in the water beneath the Klansman pulling the noose up, so, you know, the guy's being strung up the tree, and the black man is just stark naked for some reason, just completely buck naked. Can I say, just add just so many more questions than answers, like...
It's like that weird picture on the internet where there's this monster attacking a girl and they're pouring milk on the monster.
Yes, yeah, it's pretty much the same reaction as that. Like,
they linked that one on FARC all the time, and I would always be like, I need to ask what that is, but I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, and I realize at this point, you know, it's like, I loved him as a friend, as a brother, but, you know, like, when I see him posting stuff like that, I realize he's beyond irrational. And I wanted to ask him, like, so, is the black guy in the situation supposed to be you? And if so, why are you naked? Yeah, so, you know, weird situation there.
It's funny, too, like a couple of years ago, there was somebody who had a Halloween decoration where they had a hangman's noose, you know, in their yard. And it was a skeleton hanging by the hangman's noose. And I was straight up thinking it looked like a, you know, I was thinking more like you know, Blazing Saddles, Mel Brooks, kind of hangman's noose kind of set up in this thing. And, people are going, you know, oh, a racist display. I'm like, it's a skeleton. It's not. maybe we're getting too freaked out here. And, yeah, the person was like, yeah, I don't mean to offend anybody. They took it down, you know, because they're like, yeah, I was just trying to have something that was scary for Halloween.
Yeah. Can I say that? This does come all the way back one more thing on Halloween. One of the Native American leaders who led the fight against the Redskins, even met with Obama here in D.C., to change the name of the Redskins, he has been just chastised horribly for dressing up as Bob Marley for Halloween. Yeah, he went in blackface for Halloween as Bob Marley, which I was thinking, I was like, Bob Marley really wasn't that dark. Like, why would a native need to, like, cake on some makeup? Maybe that's what was offensive, is he, like, overdid it, you know? Like, why would you need, anyway, the reaction is what had me just laughing out loud. Not the irony, because people are like, oh, this is so ironic, because he was standing up against the belittlement of the Native Americans, and yet he is belittling people the same way, and, I don't think honoring a celebrity is belittling anyone. Also with Halloween, also, holy crap, are people really this, like, sensitive? And the one, the news reported, one of the fellow civil rights workers said that this was the greatest betrayal. And I'm like, betrayal? A Halloween costume is not a betrayal. I'm sorry. Like, being,
being left down a notch, you know?
Yeah. Like being, like, if you're being shot and your friends run the opposite direction, that's betrayal. You just got, they didn't help you at all. That'd be betrayal. What else would be betrayal? Turning your back on your country, right? You know? That's betrayal. You're betraying.
Putting your lips on wearing, the milk carton from the directly
yes,
from the fridge.
Yes, you are betraying the trust of your family when you do that. Exactly, that could be a betrayal. Yes, cheating
on
a loved one.
Putting the toilet paper on, right. You know, with the roll towards the wall.
Hey, cheating on a significant other would be betrayal. My point is, wearing a Halloween costume. It's not a betrayal. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Can we agree that Halloween costumes are supposed to be stupid and just go on with it? I mean,
my thing is too. Like,
people work overtime to be offended. Like, okay, so recently somebody dressed up as Rachel Dolezal. You know, the lady who was and decided she, I mean, she is somebody who I believe probably needs some counseling, maybe just a good friend, so the person went off on this tirade about cultural appropriation. It's like, okay, you had somebody who's already doing cultural appropriation. So dressing up as them, you're making fun of them making fun. I can't, it's a Gordian knot of cultural appropriation that I can't even figure out. It's an Ouroboros of cultural appropriation to the point that it's blackface doing whiteface, which is doing blackface. I can't figure it out. It's like
blackface doing whiteface.
It'd be like black person doing Al Jolson.
I can't wrap my mind, it
hurts my head. So I'm like, okay, you know, unless it's a super, and there are super offensive, I have seen some Halloween outfits where I'm like, okay, that's kind of crass. You know, I saw one that was the lazy Mexican outfit, and I'm like, somebody took the time to make that outfit, you know, and it wasn't even one that they put together themselves. It was, you know, somebody took the time to purchase, make facilities mass produce this thing. And I'm like, okay, that's not nice. That's reprehensible. Yeah, I'll grant you that one. That's pretty bad. But when somebody goes, hey, the Mexicans have a fantastic idea with the Day of the Dead. Let's celebrate our loved ones who passed away, you know, and you say, hey, they have a fantastic idea with that, you know, and you do the sugar skulls and the makeup and all that. I'm not sure that that's cultural appropriation. I think that's honoring a culture, you know. I think that's,
one of those things too, like, all right, if, I don't understand. It's the same people who whine about, you know, cultural appropriation whenever anyone likes something from another culture or, you know, wants to expand their horizons. You know, it's one of the things. Oh, well, people need to expand their horizons. Okay, I'll expand my horizons. Ugh, you're appropriating other people's culture.
Oh, okay. Jack,
okay, so you want... So do you want me to expand my horizons, or do you want me to segregate myself?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's honestly what, you know, because jack-o'-lanterns are appropriating, the Druid Celtic culture. You know, that was originally, was it beetroots or something like that, that Irish ancestors there carved. You know, if you have a Christmas tree in your house, you are appropriating German culture. And, you know, it's, if you have garland in your house, you're appropriating Turkish culture. You know, it's goofy because, you know, you're like, oh, well, no, we can't grandfather that one in because it's from so long ago. Like, no. Yeah.
Well,
heck, with my new diet, I might actually celebrate Kwanzaa this year because I'm eating a heck of a lot of corn.
Eating a heck of a lot of what?
Corn.
Corn? Is that part of Kwanzaa?
Yeah. You know, I get this cool colored corn dish.
How do you know so much about Kwanzaa?
I was invited to a friend's Kwanzaa thing. It was kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
We lit candles and...
Okay.
It was kind of low-key because, you know, he was kind of winging it and having fun. In other words, it was what all holidays should be. You sit around, have fun with your friends, meet family, and have a good time. Nobody got offended, and we played Jenga.
Okay, that sounds good.
He did have a cat, so I had to stay on the wooden chair, you know, so I didn't get cat dander on me. That's about the low point of the day. But, you know, it was a fantastic day, and I had a lot of fun with him and his wife.
I don't think anyone does Kwanzaa around here. Like, I've been here for like 5 years. It is a predominantly black area. and I have not seen like Quanta stuff. Like
Then it is your mandate. You have to start it.
Oh, I have to. You want me to invite my friends over for a Quanta dinner?
Yes. There you go.
Yes, that might be a little weird. That might be weird. They didn't respond well to the Feast of Baphomet, so I don't know how much they're gonna like them.
And then the spider ritual really just sent them, I don't know.
Great spider, yes.
Can I hit you with something that hit me as a funny thing today? So you and I are both trying to lose some weight because every time I load up a picture of us, I'm like, well, there's 500 pounds of heart attack waiting to happen.
Yes.
And so I'm down almost 20 pounds, and I think you're down. What'd you say? 12.
I'm down a solid definitive 8. So, I weighed in during the day, so it wasn't like a cheater weight. And,
solid definitive 8 was what I was in high school. today, I got most of my steps just at work. You know, I try to hit about 10,000 steps a day. I'm tracking on my watch. So we're doing the Just Dance 2016, which I think is the best lineup of music that's ever been on Just Dance. It's absolutely fun. But to control the Kinect, you have to do, after each dance, to get the Kinect to recognize who's in control, you have to do the Bellamy salute.
No. Yes.
Now,
oh.
I'm saying the Bellamy and Melamy salute because that's an American thing. If I was wearing an armband and jack boots and Hugo Boss clothes, it would have a much different look. But I'm trying to get this thing's attention, and I didn't even realize it until I came in the room and both my kids are doing the salute at the television. I'm like, good Lord.
Gee whiz. Yeah, that's a little disturbing. Well, you know, what is that? Is that Japanese? Is that, you said PlayStation?
No, it's Microsoft. It's American.
Microsoft. Oh gosh, yeah, they should have worked around that.
But the game, I don't know, Just Dance, I don't know who makes that. Hold on, let me. I have the internet here in my island fortress. No, I did. I said my mountain fortress. Not at the island fortress today. Just Dance. Oh, it's by Ubisoft, which is they're in France and Canada. So, yeah, I can't imagine that they're intentionally making us do Nazi salutes.
Yeah,
I can't imagine the French have any real love for the German, the Nazi.
I would hope not. Yeah, that's crazy. Can I just say some stuff about pronunciation? Listening to the news here in D.C., Fox 5 in D.C. just tonight, one of their reporters, Miss Limone, I think it's Alexandra Limone, she was talking about a peeping Tom on the UMD campus tonight, and she kept saying, in the restrooms, the restrooms, and I mean, just really, really pronouncing that U in restrooms.
Is that like back in the late 80s, early 90s, where everybody was being sexually harassed?
Yeah, it's sexually harassed. Yeah. Were they harassed in the restrooms?
Harassed.
So, yes. And then one that had me just ripping my hair out was an accident on Beauregard Street, you know, because Beauregard isn't a word that people have said for decades in the United States commonly. Beauregard. Everyone knows that word. Beauregard. You are a trained
professional talker. That is your job, is the English can't. And you are sitting there going, Beauregard. What is wrong with you?
Okay, I have lived in 5 different American states with a road and or area named R-I-O, you know, spelled R-I-O. And, you know, anybody who has lived in any Hispanic area would say, oh, Rio. You know, that's clearly Rio. Nope, it's Rio. 5 different American states I have lived in, and they pronounce it that way.
Okay. Yeah, that's, do the broadcasters pronounce it that way?
Well, you know, local television broadcasters, yeah.
I know, well, there is no local television broadcasters in that little
no. plot. Oh, yeah. I'm talking in my current location.
Oh, okay.
Near the mountain fortress.
Outside the mountain fortress, in Rio de Janeiro, Colorado.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the radio commercials, there's a couple of radio commercials. Hey, this is one of the things I used to love to do, is to break down radio commercials for being stupid. One of the radio commercials.
The Going Green one.
The what?
Going
Green,
my,
yes. Years ago, we posted up the Going Green ads. I'll try to dig those up so we can. They're still playing those. Occasionally, one will pop on. Anyway, don't want to have to explain what that. We'll try to find that and explain that later. Anyway, there's one that's for LifeLock.
Am I losing you? I think you moved somewhere. You got a terrible signal.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, good. He says, in the fable of Hansel and Gretel, they left breadcrumbs to find their way back home. But when you use public Wi-Fi and do financial things online, you leave breadcrumbs that could lead an identity thief back to your home. And he at the end of the commercial, he says a line that just hits me so wrong, because he says, you don't want someone eating your financial lunch. And I'm like, okay, he's clearly trying to make a reference to Hansel and Gretel, but that's not what happened in that story.
You don't want somebody eating your gingerbread house? No.
If he said gingerbread house, if he said gingerbread house, though, it would have at least been from the same story, right? Wasn't that in there?
Yeah.
Didn't the witch live in the gingerbread house?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's either food or shelter. You don't eat the gingerbread house, so you eat the children that come to eat the gingerbread house. That was the lesson of the story. If you come up to a gingerbread house, it's not for you to eat, it's for somebody to eat you. Don't trust strangers. A lot of German fairy tales had that as their main moral. But yeah, it ends with children getting eaten. Is the children getting eaten my financial lunch? I don't know.
The children throw the witch in the oven.
Yeah, okay.
They trick her into the oven. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
That one breaks down in all different kinds of ways. Yeah. No. That's,
yeah. I think I was thinking of the original German one. I'm pretty sure the kids do get eaten.
Oh no! I think it's heavily implied that this is consistently where she gets her food from, is luring kids to their death. Yeah. But Hansel and Gretel aren't smart enough to.
So with Ellen, I figured I'm guessing he's just mixing. He's just getting confused with Goldilocks and Three Bears.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
because that's what it is. I was like, is he getting confused? Like, at the end of the commercial and being like, yep, and that, you know, that they're going to eat your financial lunch. And they'll find the one that's just right. And they're like, oh, okay.
Oh, there we go. Oh, now I get it. You're an idiot. Ah, now I got it.
So, that the other one, the other radio ad in the DC area that, is just, ear piercing, just I just have 1,000 aneurysms at once when it comes on. It's for the Blue Moon, the Paper Moon. It's a gentleman's glove in Springfield, Virginia. And, they decide that their advertisement should focus on girls. Girls. One is doing that in the background, while the other one is saying different types of girls. Skinny girl, young girls, cute girls. This ad goes on for 30 seconds. That means the word girl is said about 100 times in 30 seconds. Do you know what that makes me want to do? It doesn't make me want to go to Paper Moon. It makes me want to rip my eyeballs out and shove them in my ears. To stop from hearing that horrible, 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 horrible noise that is coming out of the radio.
The term for having a word repeated too many times and having it lose all meaning to you is called semantic satiation, also called semantic saturation. In other words, if you say a word over and over and over and over again, it loses its meaning, which is actually kind of a cool thing. Moby has done that in some of his songs, where he takes a phrase and he keeps repeating it and then adds a beat to it and then it just it sounds like they're just abusing it there.
Yeah, it's completely unaware of any, reasoning or thought process in the repetition, just repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. And it's very painful to listen to. It's genuinely upsetting, I have to say. I don't know. Another thing that's upsetting about those is who approved this? Who said this is a good idea? Who said that?
There's the problem, and this leads back to our political discussions. If you're a small business owner and you have nobody to answer to, the problem is nobody has to approve it. It's just the echo chamber inside your head that goes, well, this is a good idea.
Yeah. Hey, we got girls here. Just have the girls say girls a bunch of times, and guys will know the girls are here. That twingy horror flashback feeling that your brain gets whenever you hear that song that your friend, roommate, your bunkmate, fell asleep listening to on his iPad and on iPod on repeat, so he falls asleep to this song going on that you can hear at this, negative 2 decibel sound on repeat. You can still hear it, just barely sound. And then whenever you hear it in public, you're just like, oh, that night when I heard that song 52 times before falling asleep. I don't care if your sex is on fire. It just takes me to dark places.
There's one of my favorite albums of all time that I actually can't listen to anymore because there's one video game I played obsessively, actually damaging my performance in organic chemistry you know, because I was playing this stupid game so much. I can't hear the album without seeing the game in my head. But all right, I gotta wrap it up here because, in less than 6 hours, I have to leave to go to a tank museum where I will not be stealing a tank to use in my plans for world domination.
All right. Good Shabbos.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.